Hello and welcome to News Warrior. In this week's podcast, I'm going to talk about history of insurgencies in the Northeast, why they started, how they flourished, and what is the status now in the Northeast. Do listen. I'm Nitin Gokhale. So India's Northeast, which comprises 7 states, as all of you are aware from the programs that I have done, and of course your own reading and your own knowledge, actually was part of the frontier that the Indian nation had during the British time. The borders or the boundaries were with Tibet, Myanmar or Burma at that point in time, Bhutan, Nepal, and East Pakistan, as India got divided in 1947. And of course, all of you know the number of states that were there in the Northeast at that point in time. The biggest state, Assam, which of course was carved out from the larger Assam state. Part of it went to East Pakistan at the time of independence. There was Tripura as a princely state, Manipur as a princely state. Then, of course, NEFA, the Northeast Frontier Agency, which was actually the tract that had long borders with Tibet and perhaps was the most contentious as far as foreign relations were concerned. But that's not something that I'm going to talk about because you know most of it from my couple of previous programs. What I'm going to talk about is how insurgencies and separatism began in the Northeast because of perceived or real neglect, perceived or real apathy from rulers or decision makers in Delhi. We will talk about insurgencies and separatist movements. Were they born out of pure desire for separate country, separate homeland for the tribes, or they were a result of perceived and real neglect, perceived or real apathy from decision makers in New Delhi, or there was something else? Actually, it's a combination of all three. If we trace back the origins of insurgency in the Northeast, the first uprising happened in the Naga Hills in 1954-55, when the Nagas, now of course there are 18 of the tribes that are recognized as Naga tribes, but the Nagas felt that the association with India was unreal, impractical, because the British had kept them in the excluded areas when they were ruling the country. And the Nagas wanted separate identity, separate administrative structure. But when the government of India decided against it, the Nagas rose in revolt. They said that we need a separate homeland for ourselves. The insurgency began in real terms in 1956. As I have mentioned earlier, it was led by Angami Zafu Fizo. He, of course, fled to England later, but the insurgency continued. The Indian Army was rushed into the Naga Hills district of Assam to counter the insurgency. And from there on, the real armed rebellion or armed encounters between security forces and insurgents began. The NNC, the Naga National Council, was the originator of insurgencies in the Northeast in that sense. That's why Naga insurgency is called the mother of all insurgencies in the Northeast. Later in 1966, the people in Lushai Hills district, now known as Mizoram State, rose in revolt because of the apathy and the neglect and the complete indifference of the decision makers, of the administrators in the undivided capital of Assam, which was in Shillong. I have detailed that during Simply Nitin programs on the Mizoram Accord. That insurgency continued for 20 years. In neighboring Manipur, the Meitei insurgency, or the insurgency led by Meitei people from Imphal Valley, began in the mid-1960s, but really came into its own in the early 70s. Several groups were formed. People's Liberation Army, UNLF, the United Nationalist Liberation Front, PREPAC, Kanglepak, Communist Party, number of alphabet soups were created because most of them felt that the Manipur princely state was merged into the Indian Union through deception and through coercion. That happened in 1949, but the entire neglect or the indifference of the rulers started manifesting in the decade of the 1970s. Similar thing happened in Tripura. Tripura was the princely state merged into the Indian Union rather peacefully. But there, the demographic inversion of population was the main cause. At the time of independence, Tripura's population was 60% local indigenous tribals, 40% non-tribals, mainly Bengali-speaking people who constituted the population of Tripura. So over the next 20 years, the tribal population in Tripura started feeling discriminated against. They had little to look forward to in terms of development. Jobs were scarce because they were not fully educated. And the better educated Bengali people started getting government jobs. They were more prosperous in some respects because they were also traders. So there, the Tripura National Volunteers started an insurgency, or TNV, started the insurgency in 1980. But the biggest state of all, Assam, started seeing the rise of insurgency or rise of anti-center feeling much before insurgency began. So in the 1960s, there was an agitation against the center for what was a real discrimination. And the discrimination was in the form of taking oil or crude oil from the oil fields of Digboi in Upper Assam and refining it in the refinery at Barauni in Bihar. So a 2,500 kilometer pipeline was laid between Upper Assam near Duliajan to Barauni, just to take that oil from Assam to Bihar and refine it there. The logic was that it is easier to transport oil, the refined oil or petroleum products from the Barauni refinery to the other parts of the country. But the real reason was that India's first president, Rajendra Prasad, wanted some industry in the state of Bihar. And that time, Jawaharlal Nehru, India's prime minister, and his cabinet acceded to that demand. Now, this is something that the people in Assam have not forgotten. That was the first agitation. So then they were given one small refinery near Guwahati at Noonmati as a appeasement. But the resentment against what the Assamese people felt as the language imposition or Bengali dominance in lower bureaucracy of the Assam government resulted in the language agitation in the late 60s, early 70s. That continued when in 1979, in a by-election for the Mangaldoi Lok Sabha constituency, it was discovered that there were suspected foreigners inserted into the voters list, which led to a huge uprising, civil disobedience movement in the form of the anti-foreigners agitation, which started in 1979, led by the All Assam Students Union and the All Assam Ganasangram Parishad, which comprised several social and religious and literature organizations, or the organizations that represented various literatures. So that agitation continued, as you know, for the next 6 years, culminating in the Assam Accord. But some of the radical elements in the Assamese society, the youngsters, were not happy with the non-violent or the peaceful demonstrations and agitations that were being carried out in Assam. So they formed a group called United Liberation Front of Assam, or ALFA, as it is known in Assam. Although the abbreviation is ULFA or ULFA. That insurgent group came into its own in the mid-80s, after the Assam Gana Parishad government, led by Prafulla Kumar Mahanta, came into power in December 1985 in Assam. They thought it's a friendly government, and they were not wrong. The insurgency really started rising. They started targeting the tea garden owners. They started targeting the government installations, central government installations like Oil India, Indian Oil Corporation, and started extorting money. Rich businessmen were targeted, and they sort of got a lot of money and finance from these people. So for about 3 years, they had a full free run of the countryside. It was seen as a complete alpha rule in ruler Assam between the years of 1988 and 1990, when the central government decided enough is enough, cracked down hard, launched an army operation called Operation Rhino on 27th November 1990, and dismissed the Prafulla Kumar Mahanta government on the same day by imposing president's rule. That then took almost 11 to 12 years for that insurgency to be brought under control. Many of its leaders, after the army crackdown, fled to Bangladesh, lived there, operated from there. But then finally, after a lot of to and fro, insurgency, counter-insurgency, lot of killings, all that, Alpha insurgency was brought under control. Simultaneously, the Bodo tribe, which is a small tribe compared to the entire population, and which has a dominant presence in the lower Assam areas of Kokrajhar, Udalguri, and other places, started feeling discriminated against by the decision makers in Dispur, the capital of Assam. They said, we don't get enough share of administrative positions or development funds. So we need a separate administrative structure or an autonomous structure for ourselves. So the NDFB came into being, which is the National Democratic Front of Bodoland, but actually an insurgent group. BLT, Bodoland Liberation Tiger, came into being. And then it sort of went on and on. There were killings again, bomb blasts, massacres, all that happened. So why am I telling you all this is that in many cases in the Northeast, many of the insurgencies were sort of born out of this perceived or real sense of apathy and neglect, and not a desire to have a separate country or a homeland, which a lot of people think these are separatist tendencies. No. This is basically a result of out of sight, out of mind policy, which was perfected by the British, but then also followed by independent India's decision makers, the bureaucracy, the politicians in Delhi, because Assam or the Northeast is quite a distance away from Delhi. And therefore, nobody could understand or nobody wanted to understand how the aspirations of this region really was not being met. And therefore, all this happened. But come 1990s and the decade at the beginning of this century, many things changed because government realized at the center that they need to give more attention, they need to give more funds, they need to give more share of development plans to the Northeast. And over the past 20 years, a lot of things have turned around. Better connectivity to Northeast, more development funds. In fact, the creation initially of the Department of Development of Northeastern Region, and now a full-fledged ministry called Development of the Northeastern Region or DONOR, gives the Northeastern states a pool of resources which are guaranteed. So, except for a few ministries like External Affairs, Defense, and some of the other ministries, the Prime Minister's Office or the Space Department, all other ministries put aside 10% of their annual budget in a pool called non-lapsable pool for the Northeastern region. And it sort of gets rolled over every year. It doesn't get lapsed, unlike what happens in other budgets or other ministries' budget. So the Northeastern region now has no problem of funds. It has problem of implementation of these schemes. But why I wanted to give you an overview of the insurgencies and the history of insurgency in the Northeast was the fact that in the 75th year of India's independence, one must understand that nation building has not been easy. It's been a tough task. It's a combination of lack of understanding, lack of knowledge, lack of empathy for distant areas. And just don't think that it is only for the Northeast that there was a lack of understanding or a discrimination. I remember there was a time in the 1990s when even Gujarat state used to complain of discrimination by the Petroleum Ministry for not giving enough royalties on the oil extracted from Gujarat. Tamil Nadu, of course, had separatist tendencies in terms of imposition of language. If you go to areas in Chhattisgarh and central India, there were other problems and other issues which led to the Naxals or the left-wing extremists gaining upper hand there. So this nation has not been built so easily. It has taken a lot of bloodshed, a lot of sacrifice, a lot of, recriminations against each other. And we have come to a place 75 years later where now it seems the country is on a development path. Of course, there will always be complaints, but insurgency was mostly in the Northeast born out of this sense of discrimination and not a desire for separate countries, what I wanted to emphasize on. Although other countries like Pakistan, China have tried to meddle into these insurgencies and tried to give them a boost by giving shelter and weapons and many other material help, it has not succeeded. After a lot of hard work, India has managed to keep the Northeast intact or in the Indian Union. Of course, Kashmir insurgency has a different dimension, which we will talk about some other day. But remember this. At 75, India has had a very difficult journey to come where we have come. And the Northeast, in some ways, has allowed us to be realist in nation building and also trying to get everybody along. That's all I have this week, but do keep giving us feedback. And of course, you know our social media handles, our YouTube channel, for which you must subscribe to, and give us feedback so that we can bring you more information and more such programs in the future. Until the next time, it's goodbye.